Today's message was written by Susan Gottschall Cook, but read by me because she's not here. This Advent, we will look together at the question, how does a weary world rejoice? If the phrase weary world rejoicing has a familiar ring to it, it's because it comes from one of the most well-known Christmas songs, O Holy Night. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night, O holy night, O night divine. The song was written by a French poet who was an atheist, and the music was supplied by a Jewish composer. The hymn was later translated into English by an American Unitarian minister. In the 1800s, it became a popular hymn for Christian abolitionists due to its justice-focused language in verse 3. Truly he taught us to love one another, his law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression will cease. In this hymn, rejoicing or showing joy or delight is a response to the soul feeling its worth, and it comes amidst weariness. It isn't about choosing joy, but expressing a feeling in response to a gift or awareness. Theologian Kate Bowler, who has written a good bit about the intersections of weariness and joy, says, joy is a gift from God. It is not the same as happiness. It is a fullness of expression of peace and love and openness to the world that is frequently completely supernatural. You just don't white knuckle your way into joy. You just live your life with as much beauty and truth as possible, and then sometimes you get joy. The idea that we have added joy to the list of neoliberal virtues, if you're just quite the little bootstrapper and you have the right mental attitude, that you too can choose joy. It is an awful commodification of one of the most amazing things that can happen to us. But that's the thing. It comes to us. We don't get to will our way into all the positive feelings of the world. Zechariah, in today's story, is an interesting study in this. He receives news that he is about to receive a long-desired outcome, to become a father, and he is not able to rejoice at that news. Far be it from me to blame him for that, but I think it underlies that rejoicing is not a choice. He is not able to feel it yet. He is not able to turn emotionally on a dime. The angel renders him mute in response to this, which, if you interpret it as a punishment, is pretty harsh. But I wonder if being rendered mute can't sometimes be a gift. We are so often expected to fill in silences with words that don't know that we don't, we don't know that we believe. Let me do that again. We are so often expected to fill in silences with words we don't know that we believe. How are you?
I'm fine.
How often have you said these two words knowing, in fact, that you are not fine at all? Or how often have we deflected, or, let's be honest, even smacked down a compliment because we couldn't believe it or receive it? What if an angel would come down and silence our protestations with a flick of a feather, so we had to stand and receive in silence the words meant to show us ourselves in someone else's reflected light? Or how often are we tempted to fill in the space of someone's shared sorrow with advice or platitude? Maybe silence would force us to maintain eye contact and allow empathetic tears to well in our eyes and nudge us to reach out a hand in solidarity. Maybe silence sometimes gives us a chance to be honest, to clear the air of all the things we feel we should say or are expected to say, or things we wish were true. Maybe Zechariah being silenced meant that he had to sit with where he was really at and where he was real and what he was really feeling, uncomfortable as it may be. So that when the long-awaited joy arrived, it could be what it was, and he couldn't filibuster all the wonder and insanity out of it by noisily paving the way for others' expectations. Is it possible that silence is one of the avenues between weariness and rejoicing? If you're willing, I'd like you, Susan would like to invite you to close your eyes. Imagine that you are standing outside on a winter night. It's cold, but you're dressed warmly. It's snowing, the kind of snowfall that causes a hush all around because no one's driving. And the flakes are filling the air. Perhaps you are standing alone and have just received news that you've been longing to hear. Or maybe you are standing beside a person or a creature you feel very safe with, and they simply give you a look of contentment. Imagine not saying anything. You don't have to say anything. Just be. Let whatever feelings well up within you. This Advent, may you take divine permission to not fill silence with words you don't mean. Trust that joy may emerge even from your weary places.